The Daily Cross. I said in a previous blog post that two of the fundamental things that I misunderstood and misrepresented in my early teachings were, first, the nature of the finished work of Christ and how that finished work, what he did, applies to us or how we experience it. And second, the reality and the necessity of the daily cross of Christ. I've already attempted to describe some of the great and common misunderstandings concerning the finished work of Christ and my own confusion on that point in the post that's called The Nature of the Finished Work. And now I want to try to share a few thoughts about the reality and the necessity of the daily cross of Christ. Probably every Christian in the world is aware of the historical and outward cross of Christ, the wooden cross upon which Jesus was crucified between two thieves. But I don't know if you've ever thought of this before, but even before Jesus surrendered his life on the outward wooden cross, before there was any outward Roman crosses in the picture at all, Jesus was already talking to his disciples about another cross, about a daily cross that they must take up every day in order to truly follow him. He says it many times. One of them is in Luke 9:23, where he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, I think this must have sounded strange to the ears of his listeners who were told in the scripture that they didn't even understand or accept that Christ was going to die outwardly on a cross. But I also doubt that they could have understood clearly at that time what in the world he meant by taking up a daily cross in order to follow him where he was going. That must have sounded very strange to their ears. But we need to understand that the cross was not just something that Jesus experienced for the last few hours of his life. The cross, the daily cross, was something that Jesus knew, something that he spoke of, something that he embraced, took up, and carried every single minute of every day of his life as a man. The outward wooden cross was really only the final stroke or the killing of the outward life of the nature of man. But the inward cross was a daily experience, a continual denial and death to all independent will, all self-life as a man, in perfect submission to the will and the power of the Father. Now, while it's absolutely true that Christ, in his incarnation, never sinned and was therefore the perfect and spotless Lamb of God, it's also important to understand that he entered into man's condition in the fall. I mean, he didn't enter into the condition that Adam was in paradise before he fell, but rather into man's condition after he had fallen. And for this reason, Jesus was subject to weakness. In fact, 2 Corinthians 13:4 says he was crucified in weakness. He had a mortal body. He was subject to the elements. He was subject to heat and cold and tiredness and hunger and painful emotions. In fact, he's called a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was also subject to every sort of temptation and every assault of the enemy. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And also, he was subject to the evil, the anger, and the violence of wicked men. Christ entered into our fallen condition, not to be immune to it, but to overcome it by the Spirit. And as I've talked about elsewhere, then to share his overcoming life, his overcoming spirit with all who would receive it. Which is why he says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." But the way that Christ overcame all of his enemies, the way that Christ overcame temptations and all weaknesses, all independent human will, always saying things like, not my will, but yours, Father, be done. The way that he even overcame death was not solely by means of the wooden cross that he hung upon for the last few hours of his life, but also by means of the daily cross that he carried, that he knew very well, and that he told his disciples that they also had to pick up and carry every day to follow him. So what is this daily cross? I believe it's of great importance that every Christian knows and experiences the answer to that question. It's something that's described and required by nearly every page of the New Testament in one way or another, sometimes using different language, but yet it remains a mystery and even an offense to a surprising number of Christians. In a few words, the daily cross of Christ is a continual denial of all self-will and an inward subjection or submission to the righteous power of God that dethrones and crucifies the fallen will and nature of flesh in man. Like the wooden cross, the daily cross, you could say, is an instrument of death, and it's the way to experience resurrection or a resurrected life. But the daily cross is not an outward instrument of death that just kills the outward body, but rather an inward and ongoing death that starves and burns and crucifies and circumcises and frees man from all that has grown up in the soul of man apart from the pure nature and will and life of God. Taking up the cross every day, the phrase taking up the cross means living in such a way that you're careful and watchful to stay under its weight. I mean to stay under its influence, under its judgment, in its light, carrying, as Jesus said elsewhere, the yoke of the cross, the yoke of truth everywhere you go, and experiencing it as that which continually exposes the source, nature, and spring of all man's actions, words, thoughts, and desires. The daily cross of Christ is the power of God made manifest in you to expose, to judge, and to remove all that is fallen from his glory. It's not just self-denial or ceasing to do evil. It's denial of self and complete subjection and resignation to the creating power or the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. And it's the lack of living in this way inwardly at all times before God that keeps men and women from truly experiencing the benefit of all that Christ did outwardly for them. Many people believe in the outward cross, who yet themselves, as Paul said, even weeping in Philippians, that they're enemies to the cross of Christ. And what makes them enemies to the cross of Christ? Is it that they don't have good theology? Does he say it's because they don't believe in the outward, historical cross of Christ? No, Paul says that they're enemies of the cross of Christ because their God is their appetite, their glory is their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. So how do you live as an enemy to the cross of Christ? You simply live according to the natural desires, will, and appetites of the fallen fleshly man, who is enmity with God, and does all things for the glory and gain of self. You're an enemy to the cross when you hide from its light, when you dodge its judgments, when you seek to keep alive the nature that the cross would kill, and thereby you resist and crucify to yourself the life of Christ that would rise up in you. In this way, and for this reason, man is always either submitting to the power of God that crucifies flesh with its passions and desires, Galatians 5:24, and puts to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8:13. Or he's resisting that work of the Spirit by remaining in the flesh, by walking in the flesh, by setting his mind on earthly things. And so, as it says in Hebrews 6, crucifying again to himself the Son of God, putting him to open shame. The truth is that many people are not saved or don't grow in grace because they're unwilling to be entirely subject to the power of God that saves them, and are rather subject in a whole lot of different ways and different measures to a contrary power, which is always slowly distorting and destroying them. It's really that simple. In other words, people don't grow spiritually, or they don't continue their spiritual journey simply because they will not stay under the dominion, under the weight, under the light of God's judgment, under his cross that would continually subdue their enemies and make room in their hearts for the kingdom of God. In Psalm 81, verse 10, it says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries." This may sound simplistic, and as a concept, it's indeed very simple. It's certainly not complicated. But even so, a great number of Christian men and women refuse to live their lives this way, simply because they don't want to. Or you could say, simply because they want something else. Self-will always refuses the cross, and the cross always seeks to crucify self-will. Carrying the daily cross is the same thing as walking in the light of Christ, a light that exposes and condemns all things that are contrary to the perfect nature of God. It's called carrying the cross because his judgment, his truth, needs to remain as a yoke upon our shoulders, and we need to make sure that we're always keeping ourselves under its weight. Christ doesn't tell us to just visit the cross once a week, or remember the cross, or go to the cross once a day even. He says we need to carry it always, to stay under its weight always. "Take my yoke," he says, "upon your shoulders, and learn from me. And by submission to its power, you'll become like me, gentle and lowly in heart, and find rest for your souls." Now, this daily cross, or this inward cross, is what is missing in all man-made religion, even man-made Christianity. Christians across the world praise the historical cross. They wear little copies of the historical cross. They bow down before images of the outward cross of Christ, even while their hearts adamantly refuse subjection to the daily power of God that works both death and new life in the soul. But this was not so with the early apostles and the early followers of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I die daily." He said, "We are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." 2 Corinthians 4:10 and 11. He said, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Philippians 3:10. Peter in 1 Peter 4 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And then a couple of verses later, he says, "For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead," that is, those who are spiritually dead, "that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Jesus said over and over again things like, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life," John 12:25. Or, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple," Luke 14:26-27. Now, not one of these verses is talking about an outward cross. It's not talking about an outward death or carrying a physical piece of wood, nor are they talking about a one-time experience or a mere belief in a historical event. They're talking about living in such a way at all times where the power of God, the judgment of God, the light of God is continually in our view, and where our hearts remain in a condition under it that is soft, humble, and submitted to it. Every day of his life as a man, Jesus Christ bore the daily cross. He bore this daily cross. He bore a physical cross for a few hours, but he carried the inward cross for 33 years without fail. Every temptation of the enemy was an enticement to step out from underneath it as a man. Every insult, every act of violence from men, even the misunderstandings of his disciples, were seen by him as attempts to bring him out from a perfect denial of his will as a man and a perfect submission to the will of his Father. In fact, when Peter told him that he didn't think it was necessary for Christ to go to the cross, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me." Every form of pain, every sorrow that Jesus endured as a man, even when he said in Matthew 26:38, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." This was an opportunity for him, or a temptation, to step out from under his yoke and to walk, maybe just for a few minutes, in his own human will, to ease his burden, to avoid his cup. But he wouldn't do it. He carried the cross. He carried the cross every day to his will as a man, every single day of his life. He kept under his yoke. He submitted to his Father, even when his sweat was falling, as it says, like large drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the daily cross. It involves taking this yoke upon ourselves and staying under it, walking under it. It has to do with crossing or going against the will of the creature in order to embrace and experience the will of the Creator. It's a voluntary surrender of all that comes from self, all that arises from self, and a perfect and ongoing subjection to the power of the Spirit of God. And this is the way that all faithful followers of Christ have been able to say that they experience the fellowship of his sufferings. Or in Colossians 1, they fill up in their flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Not just by a mere belief in the outward historical cross, but a daily turning, a daily seeking, and a daily surrendering to the power of God that bruises the serpent's head in us and redeems man out of the fall. In the beginning, Adam's death had to do with turning from and then losing the inward life of God in the soul, leaving him dead to God, but alive to the outward world and alive to the influences of the kingdom of darkness. And now our fellowship in Christ's death, our daily cross, is a continual submission to the light and power of God that exposes, weakens, and crucifies everything in us that has grown up in that fallen condition, that is all sin, all self-will, all pride and carnal desire. Taking up our cross and following Christ every day means denying and forsaking the will and nature that are contrary to Him, and learning to live in complete subjection and surrender to the overcoming spirit of our Savior.